Hi everyone, this is Patrick checking in. I'm not really checking in. I suppose I'm providing you information. Information for the podcast listener. Because we are doing things a little bit irregularly, we are doing things a little bit irregularly this week. Apologies, I've had a few too many Mai Tais, as the locals call them. But indeed, yes, we are doing things a little bit differently this week because we are on vacation. Fear not, next week we will have a full, proper It's Got Star Trek episode. We will be discussing Star Trek TOS's The Lights of Zatar. Yeah, the third season, 18th episode, interesting episode. So next week, The Lights of Zatar. But this week, we did not want to leave you without any fun content to listen to, so we are putting two separate items on the feed. The first item, which you are listening to now, presumably, I suppose you could be looking at a transcript, that'd be wild. I'm just going to guess the majority of you are listening to this. And those who are listening to this intro will soon be hearing a re-release of a classic episode, a classic bonus episode of It's Got Star Trek called Star Trek by the Numbers. This is a game show that Dan put together, where he quizzed Jesse and I about various number-related facts in the Star Trek universe. It's really fun. It's one of my favorite bonus episodes that we've ever done. I hope you enjoy it as much as I do. It was originally released November 26th, 2021. I suppose that's almost 5 years ago. Wild. Okay. But that's not all we're releasing this week. This episode you're listening to, be sure to refresh your feed. Refresh. Yes, it's the Mai Tais. Refresh your feed because we are also posting brand new content none of you will have heard before. Episode 3 of Jesse's Questions. This was recorded originally as Patreon content, but as we are on vacation, we decided to go ahead and post it publicly. So this is episode 3 of Jesse's Questions. Episode 1, we also had on the Patreon, but also released publicly, so you can scroll back if you want to find that. Episode 2, I'm afraid, is still locked firmly behind the paywall at patreon.com/itsgotstartrek, along with a whole bunch of other good, fun stuff. So, next week, Lights of Zatar. This week, Star Trek by the Numbers and Jesse's Questions, Episode 3. Listen to it all, enjoy it all. Write us in at feedback@itsgotstartrek.com if you have any questions or concerns. Oh, a real quick note before I go that this week's bonus episodes are sponsored by Glaubitz's Homestyle Macaboo Bread with extra crust. With that, enjoy.
Star Trek 57, M23, take 2.
Star Trek Podcast.
Computer, establish a security code for access to all functions previously transferred to Bridge.
Enter code
173467321476 Charlie 32789777643 Tango 732 Victor 731177888 732476789764376 Lock.
My name is Dan! Welcome to the Star Trek Podcast! Here with me today is Jesse. Say hello, Jesse, from the underworld!
Hello from the underworld, this is Jesse.
From the perversion of Valhalla, we have the one and only Patrick! Say hello, Patrick!
Hi, how's it going? How are y'all doing?
Yeah, that was version 3.
That sounded super perverse from Valhalla.
Yeah. So, yeah, this is a podcast.
This is what you get. This is a bonus content, so, you know, it's worth the price you pay for it.
Yeah. So, some brief notes.
brief notes. You made me think of, like, you know, underwear, like briefs.
Do we have? Yeah, I know. Do we have to go through all the subjects we covered before?
No, we don't have to do that.
It seems kind of forced.
We didn't push the right buttons. Yeah. What are you gonna do? So
yeah, let's just move on.
We got a couple minutes in, but don't worry about it.
Yeah.
We just mentioned.
I was just wondering if we should try to recap what we did before.
We don't need to.
I forgot.
No, so. They don't care. They didn't hear it.
They didn't
hear
it.
This is bonus content.
That's right.
Bonus. Bonus means it's not as good as the real shit.
It's extra.
Extra.
No, it's
just
probably
the fun bit.
A lot of people are probably going to be like, it's way better than the real shit because they're not talking about, you know, Discovery or whatever.
I do want to mention, though, that the poll that
got something to tell you.
That
Zandera, Kara on Twitter.
Who I said,
@XANDARA.
Right. And I knew her name, but I never looked at the Twitter handle because I'm kind of Twitter stupid. I mean, I'm not stupid. I'm just not used to using Twitter.
You're getting used to it. You're so I'm not active.
He's 40 pictures, years old. This guy's 40 years old.
You're
posting pictures of cats and shit.
Yes, exactly.
You're getting into the swing of things.
So I never pay attention to people's Twitter, like
life begins at Twitter.
What's the handle? Is it the @ thing or is it
the handle? Well, you know, honestly, I would say it's the @. It's the @ handle. I would say that's your Twitter handle. That's what people can know you by. If you're
a
trucker, that's the handle that doesn't change. Your truck might change.
And I always forget to pay attention to the @ thing. I only pay attention to their first name. So
it's because they make it all tiny and grayed out.
Yeah, silly. Anyways, she made a poll about
inertial dampers versus inertial dampeners.
Right. And
we've discussed
that's what this was about
many times over the eons on this podcast.
And it seems that most people go with dampeners. Now, I want to say that dampers came first, but I can't
verify that. We gotta find that out.
But I grew up in an era of dampers. That's
I'm
the
a
era
damper. I'm a damper boy as well.
I'm a damper boy. Jesse, do you consider yourself a damper boy?
Yeah, I think so.
I got no problem with dampeners.
You're a damp dude.
I got no problem with
Jesse's
spinners.
Jesse's a damp dude.
He's a damp dude.
I'm sogging it out.
But I have a bias, unconscious and conscious, towards damper. I don't know. Inertial dampers.
Yeah.
However, I like dampeners just fine, and sometimes I prefer hearing dampeners because it's more interesting. It's got more going on.
Maybe it depends on the context.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have to do some experiments to determine. Play some episode clips that have the term in it.
So got a little quiz for us here, Dan?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. So this bonus episode, Dan's gonna do some game show action and quiz.
Quiz us on some questions.
What's it called? Star Trek by numbers.
Star Trek by numbers.
Star Trek by numbers.
It could be Star Trek by the numbers, but Dan has gone with by numbers. Is a numbers based Star Trek quiz game. Looking forward to this.
Oh yeah, and I also wanted to mention for Kara. Is it Kara? That would be Kara. The pronunciation.
Kara or Kara?
Well, I would think it would be Kara, but
it's a personal thing.
We could also just ask.
Yeah,
we don't need to be shy about it.
Yeah, what's is it Kara? Kara is it Kara? Kara? Kara is it Kara? Kara? Well, I don't even know how to refer to her because I don't know what to say. Do I say Kara? Is it Kara or Kara? Well, apparently I think it's Kara, but then I could say Kara. Is it Kara or Kara? And apparently I think it's Kara. I'm making an assumption here, you know, before even asking the question.
That's why the tool of communication helps resolve some of these issues.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good that you are concerned about that, but the solution is simple. We'll find out soon enough.
Okay.
We'll figure it out.
I'm going to go with Kara for now, and I also appreciated the Dynamic Dan Snoopy gif.
Yes.
That was fun.
Yeah. A reference to the last episode, episode 104. It's a whole thing.
It's good.
As long as you've seen the new Discovery. And it sounds like our international friends are going to be able to see Discovery soon enough, or at least a lot of them, because
they're working the shit out.
I think Paramount freaked out because everyone was like, what the fuck?
Yeah,
some
bullshit.
So they're putting it on Pluto TV.
So they won't have to
listen
to the bonus
podcast. Maybe Paramount figured figured they were somehow saving money by withholding Discovery before the Paramount station is out, because maybe too many people were watching it through Netflix VPNs or something. But they built it's such building up such bad will that I don't know if it's worth it.
It was weird. Yeah. It looks like it's at least partially getting resolved. But regardless, we're still going to toss out some of this bonus stuff.
So.
Not everyone can get it. So, game show, numbers.
So this is Star Trek by numbers or by the numbers. I prefer by numbers, but you can say by the numbers and I'll know what you're talking about. I assume Jesse and Patrick would know what you're talking about as well, although I cannot speak for them. I'm Dan. Jesse is over here. And Patrick is over there.
That's Patrick.
Hello there.
And I don't know how interesting this game show will be, but it's basically Star Trek questions involving numbers. So, but it's all questions about numbers in Star Trek.
Okay.
So what are the
questions? You can start asking questions. Do we buzz in or what do we do?
That's the question.
We don't have buzzers.
We can just scream buzz.
Yeah, you can scream buzz. Just go like buzz or buzz or boople. Make it like an auction or something. What you got to just whatever your noise is.
What's your noise?
What? You were asking me?
Yeah, what's your noise?
Oh, that sounds like a game show in and of itself.
I know.
What's your noise?
This is a horrible trap we've set for ourselves.
Name that your noise.
You just kick people in the belly and see what sound they make. He's like, all right, next up, John is an accountant from Cincinnati, Ohio. What's your noise, John? I don't know. Kick him in the belly.
Why'd you do that?
Nobody knows.
So, question:
how do you even score that game? I don't know.
I don't know, man. So,
everybody wins.
All right. So, you ask us some questions. We'll scream out a buzzing sound of some sort.
First question,
and then you will determine. You'll be the referee. You tell us who gets to answer the question.
So, do you know what show star dates were first portrayed in?
Stardates, was it Star Trek TOS?
Yes. You didn't. I must remind the user, the player, to make a noise. It doesn't count. Because, like, you can just. Because.
Well, it wasn't a number. Well, I guess it was. It was a numbers based. It was. Yeah, you're right. It was about Stardates.
Yeah, so because.
I'm an asshole.
Because if you say, you can go both ways with that. I can call on you, and if you don't know the answer, you can be like, I wasn't buzzing.
No. I freely admit that was not a buzz.
Okay.
That was me just going, ugh.
Okay, well, we'll consider that a practice one.
Okay.
So they first appeared in TOS. What was the first episode that Stardates appeared in?
Oh, no.
I got no idea.
Okay, buzz.
What is it?
Now, there could be arguments about this.
That's one of the problems in this.
I'm going to say it's the fourth episode.
The fourth episode?
Yes. Do I need the title?
I mean...
Because I'm not going to... I can't remember the title.
The fourth episode
of TOS. The Naked Time? The Naked Now?
That's what is listed as the fourth episode in Wikipedia.
What is the... I'm guessing I'm wrong at this stage because you didn't react in such a way that would indicate that I'm correct.
You're reading me. Jesse, chance to steal.
No, I got nothing.
This is the third episode.
I'm going to do horribly in this.
It's totally the third. It's Where No Man Has Gone Before.
It is.
It's the totally third. And I was going to argue because it's actually the first episode that was fucking filmed.
Oh, shit.
That was the second pilot.
You should have said that.
I should have said that. And I knew it. I didn't know it, but it would have been a good guess.
What the fuck?
I'm a fucking asshole.
Well, I'll give you 0.25 points for that.
Yeah, he should get some. Right.
Are you keeping score on your digital device over there?
Like all British comedy game shows keep scores, you know, which is like not really at all.
Yeah.
If any of you ever watched British television, if you're advanced enough to get the British humor,
I mean Taskmaster, of course.
Are we recording this for British?
Who's
I like British shows.
You know, who's language?
Outsiders. I was making fun of like American like people who think like they're so super duper awesome and like fancy because they're into British comedy. Right. But you know, it's cool, it's all good, it's all in good fun. That's what I want to say is I'm not scorning you, I'm not looking down on you, I'm just having fun with you.
Next question.
Would You Lie to Me is really great with David Mitchell and Lee Mack.
With Tim Roth, Lie to Me?
No. Would You Lie to Me? Tim Roth has never been on Would You Lie to Me.
He was on Lie to Me, a show
Countdown
called...
is good.
He was on a show called Lie to Me.
Yeah, but nobody watched.
That
was
a different show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
When was, what was,
You know that thing? Well, what was that?
Is the point of this question is like, how many times did you say the
What?
This is one of those time loop episodes.
What is the significance?
It's not a time loop. It's just time is just taking longer. It's just taking so much longer.
We're moving at negative velocity.
No.
What is the significance of April 13th, 1987?
Oh, Adata. Buzz.
What is it?
Is it the premiere of Star Trek: The Next Generation?
We'll take that answer. Oh, I was going to say the Encounter at Farpoint, but that's
all right. That's Encounter at Farpoint. Yeah. Both parts, presumably. I think they aired them both at once, right? Yeah. It was a unified thing.
Unified.
Next question.
Split it up later for syndication.
Okay, guys.
Am I right? Syndication. Get out of here.
What?
Syndicate this.
At some point, that's going to be interference called on you, and you'll lose that 0.25 points.
All right, I forgot. You're in charge.
You're in charge.
You're in charge. No, you make the. You can do whatever
I just
want to
make sure. I just want to make sure everyone can hear. Question, right, but have fun.
No, you're performing your role admirably, and I'm being an asshole.
What century does The Next Generation take place in? What is it, Jesse?
It's the 24th century.
Damn right.
God damn it. You're so quick with that buzz.
Yeah, it's not just knowledge. It's about speed and agility.
Yeah. No, because, I mean, everybody knows that. Everyone knows it's the 24th century, that was good. Although Picard might tip us ding, 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 ding into the 25th century.
Tip his ding, ding?
The second season. Well, I don't know, because,
he's going to tip his ding, ding into the next century?
I didn't say anything about Picard's ding, ding.
I'll take Star Trek for 400, Dan.
Okay.
I heard Jean-Luc Picard's like super down for teabagging.
Yeah.
Like he's Earl Grey?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. According to Star Trek The Next Generation Writer's Director's Guide of March 23rd, 1987, page 13, and very similar following TNG series, how many digits are in a star date?
Ooh. Buzz.
What is it, Patrick?
Six.
Yes, I will accept that answer.
Because of the point.
Yes,
point
right.
One.
Yeah, five digits plus one point.
Five digits plus one.
I will accept that. That is totally valid answer.
I'm ready.
Boom, boom. Boom, okay. Boom.
This guy likes the stardate question.
Zip, zip. Now, this next one is going to throw you through a loopity boop.
Time loop. Three. The answer is three.
No.
No. Because of the pips on Riker's shirt. Three pips.
Actually, I'm not going to throw you.
Data figured that out, and he encoded it into his brainwaves.
I'm not going to
46.
Okay, I'm not going to quite throw you through a loop yet. But why is the first digit of the star date always four?
Oh, yeah. Is this a meta question or is this a Star Trek in universe question?
I tried to stay in universe as much as possible. Right, if I go, this is from Memory Alpha, so
okay.
So if it goes out of universe, I have one question out of universe, and I mentioned that.
Yeah, it's all good.
Or out of canon, rather. So, what is the first? Why is the first digit always four?
I don't know. I didn't know it was always four.
Yeah, I know. I should have made this a multiple
isn't
choice.
But it's not always four, is it? Isn't it mostly TNG and DS9?
Mostly,
Voyager, it's
okay.
Four?
Why is TNG always four?
Does that have to do with the century?
He didn't buzz.
Well, no. I thought we were out of the game.
I haven't given the answer yet.
Well,
no,
give
but
us
no,
the
but,
answer,
Dan. Well, no. Patrick was clarifying. Patrick made a good point. You're right. It wasn't always four. I should have said, why was TNG always four?
Yeah, because on TOS they were very irregular about that. Yeah. Shit. There was definitely some twos and threes.
And so that's why this is according to the Star Trek Next Generation. Director's guide.
According to Star Trek.
So why is TNG?
It's a good name for a podcast.
Because of the century.
Can you get any more specific?
Because it's the 24th century.
Yes. Yes.
Wow. I won with the same 24th century
answer. I was thinking that, and I didn't entirely understand the logic behind it.
It's
the fourth
century of space
of
travel.
Of 2000? What happens when it goes to 3000?
I think that's why. Yeah, I know it goes to five at that point or something. I know. I started reading about.
I bet it's a writerly thing. It's a thing about F's being smooth.
Well,
four.
Well, I was
five is
how
too
many,
aggressive.
How many
no, this was just for TNG though. This was just for TNG and DS9. I think actually did go into different ones, and I didn't bother to look into all the logic about that. I just wrote that it's similar for following series, but it's not the same.
My understanding.
The only thing I made a mistake is I should have said why is
maybe they were using
TNG
Cardassian
dates. But the fifth one doesn't make sense for 32,000.
I think that they. in TNG, or at least
shortly, it'd be 25th century, yeah,
like into TNG. I think they decided on an actual
right
way to calculate it,
yeah,
and then from that point we're relatively, no pun intended, consistent about it.
Relative as in science.
No pun intended, because the purpose of stardates is in a sense to account for relativistic speeds. Wow. At least that's one perspective.
Oh, do you think it
it was a pretty fucking good pun.
Yeah,
that was some sophisticated
not too
shit.
Shabs. What's the next question?
But I guess it does make sense, because if it goes into 25th century, it just becomes five. Anyways,
we'll see.
Okay. This is a multiple choice question.
Hell yeah. All
what right does the second digit mean? Does it mean...
Oh, man.
Does it mean A, the month the episode was aired, B, the season of the episode, C, the last digit of the year the episode aired, or D, inconsistent?
Buzz. Oh, shit.
Jessica.
Oh, D, inconsistent.
Wrong.
B?
Yes, season of the episode.
I had an inkling. I didn't know that. I had an inkling about
I should
it
have repeated that before I said you were right, because what if you meant... Well, you said B. That's all that matters.
Yeah,
so
it's a B. B's nuts.
So, right, it's the second digit is the season of the episode.
You keeping score? You marking this down?
I'm marking this down, baby.
Right. What's the sure score, man?
So far, the score is Jesse 2, Patrick 3.25.
Word! 3 point... That 0.25 might help me.
Yeah.
In the end.
Yeah. But yeah, like it got really complicated as like the later seasons happened, another series happened, so I didn't bother. But basically the questions I asked were in utero or whatever, in what, universe.
You mean the Nirvana album?
In universe, whatever. I'm stupid.
What's your next question, Dave?
Jess is like, let's keep this.
Give me another question.
What
keep this train moving down the tracks.
What ship has a thingy number of NCC-74656?
Bzz.
What?
Voyager?
Yes.
I should say the USS Voyager.
Yeah,
the original version.
That's cool, man. Mm.
Yeah, I just remembered it had a 7.
It had a 7.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was stuck out to me when I was watching Voyager.
The following is according to StarTrek.com. Founded in 2161, the United Federation of Planets is an interstellar alliance of how many planetary governments? Now, is it A, more than 50? B, more than 150. C.
100 more. Sorry.
C. C. Less than 50. Or D. All of the above.
Okay. Point
Wait,
of clarification.
Say that again.
At what point in time are we talking about?
Yeah, at what point in time?
In 2161.
At the founding?
Are we talking about in the 2200s? Are we talking about in the 2300s? Are we talking about in 3200? That matters. Take your best guess.
What?
Okay, so you've asked us a question of how many members of the Federation there are. However, the number of members of the Federation varied over the years. It started with X number, it grew to a certain number, and then contracted at a certain point.
So what's your best guess?
So you've got an answer, I'm guessing, since you're the quiz master. You have an answer,
that's what we have to
but
guess,
we I don't think know at which point in time that answer pertains to. Is it TNG era? Is it the Federation era after Deep Space Nine, when they're, you know, because Sisko went to Deep Space Nine to try to get Bajor into the Federation?
You know, that's a good point, because, and this is from StarTrek.com, from their database, and it doesn't specify. It just says founded in 2161, the United Federation plans as an interstellar alliance of...
StarTrek.com, you have dropped the ball.
Yeah.
You have dropped the ball on this one, because you have not specified, because you have shows airing in multiple time periods. And you need to specify which time period. Is it Strange New Worlds time period? Is it Picard time period? Is it Discovery time period? Is it early Discovery time period or later Discovery time period?
Yeah.
What's the next question?
Okay. Okay. I'm going to smoke ahead. Now I'm going to Memory Alpha. And according to Memory Alpha, it says by 2267, its territory had expanded across 1,000 planets.
All right. So is that the answer? More than 1,000?
No, because of the cosmopolitan nature of the United Federation of Planets, its territory included at least...
Because some of those people who are members of the Federation would occupy multiple planets themselves.
Yeah, right. And you could have territory that doesn't involve...
Including the humans.
And there's a ton of planets that don't support life. So, you know, and their territory could include those planets.
Absolutely.
But they don't support life.
Maybe they mine them for dilithium.
So this is...
Or trilithium.
2267.
Quadridicula.
And give the best answer, because if you want to be lame...
That's like Kirk era style. 2267.
So is it more than 150? B, more than... I'm sorry. A, more than 50. B, more than 150. C, less than 50. Or D, all of the above.
Well, it's more than 50.
I said, what's the best answer?
I picked buzz.
Yeah, you also got a buzz.
Buzz. I'll pick the more than 150.
Yes, that all is. Right. That question could have used some work.
Give me
that.
Half points.
I was
for
confused
that
by that.
Half point? I should get a half point for giving that question.
I don't think so.
You
I think
don't
we
get
should,
points
I
in
think
this
we should,
arrangement.
I think we should all get a half point for getting that
question. for putting up with that question.
So just as nobody gets nothing.
I think nobody gets nothing.
I think the audience gets 3 points.
As of 2267, how many light years are they are all the shit spread over?
is that how you wrote the question in your notes? How many light years is all the shit spread over? I don't even know. Are you talking about the Federation or just the Star Trek?
The Federation.
Okay,
the
Federation.
It's a follow-up.
Are there multiple choices?
Yes, it's A, at least 8,000 light years, B, at least 2,000 light years, C, at least 500 light years, or D, all of the above.
What? All of the above is just tripping me out. Buzz.
What is it?
A?
Okay, now I can be a total dick about this. Because I consider the best answer in that situation to be all of the above.
Okay, fuck you. Read it again, because this is a math thing, isn't it? You've done a tricky math thing where they all are subsumed under because of the order of the numbers.
A, at least 8,000 light years. B, at least 2,000 light years. C, at least 500 light years. And D, all of the above.
I don't know. You're right. I don't get any points. So I should have figured that shit out.
Yeah, because if all of the above wasn't one of the choices, it would have been A. But since all of the above, I'm doing some kind of math test trickery bullshit.
That
doesn't
math, man.
And it doesn't like teach you anything. It just pisses you off. It's like one of those questions. It's like, I didn't learn anything from that.
You didn't read all the questions
and all the
answers and weigh them all.
It teaches you something by pissing you off.
Yeah, that life sucks.
Yeah. There's no meaning to anything.
Okay. Here's
one. You make
one.
Your own meaning in life, friends.
Okay, question 11. Now, this is multiple choice. How many in canon deep space stations are there? Are there A, 3, B, 7, C, 14, D, 25, or E, 62? That would be A, 3, B, 7, C, 14, D, 25, E, 62.
And you said space stations?
Deep space stations.
Deep space stations.
A.
Okay.
A is 3.
A.
Wrong.
Ridiculous. B, whatever. No. Buzz. Whatever the last one was. E?
62?
Sure, why not?
Nope. It's B, 7.
Shit.
7.
Official like. And that doesn't
so
count.
Stupid.
That doesn't count like Starbase 80
I'm
and
so
Starbase.
So
like
stupid.
Deep space.
It's deep. And that's from Memory Alpha. Now, the next question is Memory.
Memory these nuts.
Memory Beta, isn't it?
Yeah. Because,
Memory Beta, which is from like the non-canon fiction universe.
About Memory
right.
Omega, baby.
So how many out of canon.
Memory Delta gets.
Out of canon.
Delta gets right under your skin there.
How many out of canon deep. You know, Memory Alpha really showed up like the Star Trek website. Like, the Star Trek website was just like, there's this many planets in the Federation.
Well, it's because the Star Trek website is a marketing tool for a television program.
Yeah. It's bullshit.
Memory Alpha is the real deal.
It's the real deal.
Although it's got a lot of ads these days, Memory Alpha guys, just FYI.
Yeah, just in case you didn't know, you got a lot of ads.
I mean, it's like either ad block or you got like a boatload. What's more appropriate than
das
this?
Das bootload.
Boatload of ads all in your face and like videos and stuff. And you're like, I'm just trying to find out what the canonical production number of this episode is. And I have to click away this ad for car insurance.
Yeah.
Because Google has decided I'm boring. It's fewer ads for kinky, sexy ladies in your neighborhood, and now it's all like car insurance.
Yeah.
It's like proctology doctors.
I bought a broom and dustpan combo recently, and now it thinks that I need like 25 more of them because it advertises, constantly advertised. And the same one that I bought too.
It happens to me constantly.
They need to really fix that part of the internet, and they're never, it's like one of those things that doesn't have to be that way, but like they won't fix it because who's going to fix it? Who cares? Anyways, so the answer was 7 on in canon. How many out of canon deep space stations are there? A, 3, B, 7, C, 14, D, 25, or E, 62?
I'm confused by the question.
Here, you buzz in, Jesse. Just pick one.
Bzz, A.
You, no. Three again? No.
I'm sticking with it, man.
A.
Well, God damn you guys. Are you guys, this is a mutiny? Is that what's going on?
No,
mutinies
no,
are, you'll get fucking court-martialed for that shit.
I could not begin. It's just a pure guess.
Yeah, man. It's like the same question over again.
C, D's nuts.
D, 25.
All right. D for D's nuts.
25.
In beta cannon.
Okay, the discovery, what do they call those fucking numbers, those ship numbers?
Mm-hmm. Registry?
Yeah, the registry number.
Yeah, I'm stupid. The Discovery's registry number is NCC-10-1.
Buzz.
What?
3-1.
Yes. Well, it's technically 3. It wouldn't be, because if it's 3-1, you're
it's
saying...
1-0-3-1, isn't
right,
it?
Right. But you, wait, I said it's N. I said it's 10-1, and you said 3-1,
oh,
which
okay.
would be 10-3-1-1.
That's evidence that I wasn't entirely paying attention.
No, but it's okay. I'll,
I think
I'll,
you, I think you got
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I think I won't be a double right. dupe.
I always remember that because of Section 31.
Double dupe.
And all the early associations
you just
with
to
section,
see section
31.
Is this game show entertaining so far?
It's entertaining me.
All right, what does the audience think? You guys like it so far? We'll stop right now if the audience just tells us to stop.
How many questions are there?
It's really great. This is really great. It's really great. We really like it.
Well, there's like 30 questions, but I can skip ahead if we're running out of time.
Yeah, we got a few minutes left.
A few.
Okay.
A few.
Kirk's Enterprise, NCC-1701. See, in Star Trek.com...
James Riberius Kirk.
Livzerius. See, in Star Trek.com, it calls it Kirk's Enterprise, but like... They don't, the
it's really Robert April's Enterprise and then Captain Pike's Enterprise and then mm-hmm. Captain Kirk's Enterprise.
But they don't do the NCC-1701 because that's probably too, like they want to attract a wider audience base, so they say what? Kirk's Enterprise instead of the actual registry
What's
number.
What's the question?
And, you know, the ironic thing... The ironic thing is that, well, I don't know if this is ironic, but it may be seemingly ironic, is that they're trying to make it more understandable
it's
for the...
Seemingly ironic.
They want to make it more understandable for the wider audience, so they say Kirk's Enterprise, but if you're really into Star Trek, that's actually less understandable because...
Yeah, I know.
Because...
It brings on so many
yeah,
questions.
Kirk's has, yeah. Kirk had two Enterprises.
Yeah.
So...
That son of a bitch.
How many... This is closest answer. Kirk's Enterprise, NCC-1701.
Is it Price's Right Rules?
No, you can go over.
Okay.
It's just, yeah, just closest. It had how many crew members?
Kirk's Enterprise, the 1701?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. Kirk, not Pike.
Kirk.
Buzz.
What is it?
485.
Do you have an answer? You know what? This one, actually, I'm going to... this one is tricky because I should have had you write them down first. That's what I should have done.
You can go off of my answer if you
okay.
want. I mean, I could be fucking totally wrong. I'm saying Kirk...
I got to get it, like, right on.
You got to get closer than I did.
600.
430. Patrick gets
nah.
it.
Boom. Yeah, Pike, when it was Pike, it was like 250 or something, 260.
260 in my mouth. Now, how many science labs did it have? Closest answer.
Mm. Oh, man.
Closest answer.
We don't even have to buzz for a closest answer.
Five.
Oh. Three?
Jesse wins at 14.
Oh, Jesus, right. Man, that's a lot 14. Of fucking.
Yeah,
that's a lot of science.
Yeah,
science
the original
labs.
And original Enterprise. They really, Jeez, really all about that science.
This is the golden age of science.
I bet yeah, Spock. Right. Spock took up most of them.
Yeah,
I bet Spock and McCoy between them took up 12.
And like giant yeah. Spock.
They didn't even
took
use
up all
So, right. How many crew members were in the 1701D, which is Picard's Enterprise? Was it A? 800 to 900.
1,085.
Okay. So that would be which letter?
Oh.
Fuck, well, I fucked myself, didn't I?
C. Letter C.
No, it's B.
Was that spot
I
on?
Yeah, I gave you a range of 1,000 to 1,500 because
okay.
It probably varies a little bit, and that's...
I think it's like 1,085, but I think they can carry like 5,000 if they got to, like refugee style, if they got to cram people in. You know, if Riker has to have like 10 people hanging out with him in his
they have those big, big cargo bays. If they get rid of those like octagon boxes
yeah.
and stuff,
well,
you could
the,
put some people in there
according
and some
to,
sleeping bags.
According to Star Trek canon, the cargo bays is where you shove all the Irish people.
Oh,
put all
right.
the Irish people in the cargo bays.
What?
Everybody else gets to go hang out and get their own rooms.
What was it? What was that Rent song? It's like 5,000, 25,000,
600 minutes. Yeah, I really can't stand Rent.
Yeah. I don't think I haven't seen it. I've just heard that song and it drives me up the wall.
I love musicals.
One of those tunes.
I love musicals. I love musical theater. Rent has always grated on me. It may have been, I mean, I'd like to say it was because it was forced on us in chorus, but lots of other songs were forced on us that I quite enjoyed after a time.
76 trombones in the big parade.
I'm trying to find the exact number because I did have it at one point, but I think it varies.
What you got you... trouble.
Exact number.
Right here in River City.
What did you say? 1,080 marbles?
I said 1,085.
Okay. Well, I don't know.
All don't right. worry about it. I mean, you know.
I'm obsessing.
What else you got? Stump us.
How many crew members did Voyager start with?
Mm. Oh, man.
Not counting the Maquis, I'm assuming. Or do we count the Maquis?
like 50.
However,
there's not that many people on Voyager, even with the Maquis. They got like 50, 70, 70.
Is this
70.
A multiple choice or are we supposed to guess?
Just guess.
I say 70.
Buzz.
I say 70.
200? Repeat that down.
They got 100 people on it.
200?
Like
200?
200?
200?
It's 153, so Patrick gets that one.
No way, man. There's like 75 people.
I bet that doesn't count the Maquis. I bet that was the crew constantly.
You're totally... It's embarrassing as like the quiz master when they're like, well, does that count this or this? I was like, I don't know. That's like that scene in Monty Python and Quest for Holy Grail when they ask the questions three and he's like... Something asked something about the air velocity weighing something of
African or a European.
Oh, that's
swallow.
What it is. Just go, I don't know that. Okay, so but what was the so 153 crew members Voyager start with? What was
how
it?
Many Neelixes?
How many counting Tuvix?
No.
How many? What was the capacity? The crew complement capacity. We're gonna get letters that say like half these answers are like disputable somehow.
Of course,
yeah, because that's the thing. Is like
things are. That's the whole point of enjoying Star Trek is that you can have violent disputes with people that you should otherwise get along with.
Yeah. So what's
the nature of fandom?
So what's the capacity?
Bop bop.
Patrick.
Buzz.
Patrick.
I'm just gonna guess 430.
Do you have an answer, Jesse?
No.
Okay, it's 160, so I guess...
Jesus!
I don't know.
So they have like 153 and the capacity is 160. It is a smaller ship.
Yeah, I'm going to give... You know, I should have made you give an answer, Jesse, because I have to give Patrick a point, and you might as well have given an answer. I need practice at this myself. True. I'm fucking this up.
I'm enjoying this.
What's the mass of Voyager?
Oh, dude. Killing me.
I will give you a hint. It's in metric tons.
I bet it is.
Of course,
it's always in metric tons.
Star Trek ain't stupid. Yeah, metric. They know all the metrics.
The closest answer.
They know how units. You know, units merging into each other. You know, units, scalable units.
We don't get any choices.
Nope, no choices. It's closest answer.
70,000 metric tons,
Jesse.
Metric tons, not that bullshit English American ton nonsense.
But how many baker's dozens are there in a crew member's fridge?
Baker's dozen is a good thing. Here's the deal with metric. Metric is great about everything except Celsius. It is not metric. I don't know why they pretend like it's metric. It's not metric. Celsius is bullshit. It's all arbitrary bullshit. And Fahrenheit is better because since they're both arbitrary, Fahrenheit has more resolution. So 72 degrees is different than fucking 70 degrees. And when you're talking about C Celsius, it's like, oh, it's 25
degrees.
What
about Kelvin?
Kelvin is better because it has a 0 point, but it's still the units are arbitrary. They're not based on anything.
I've noticed that sometimes when people try to like stress how heavy something is, they're trying to be like, this is really heavy. They're like, I saw there must have been 5,000 metric tons of this instead of just saying 5,000 tons, but they're using hyperbole and somehow they're using the word metric to hyperbolize their statement. But the two aren't that much different.
Yeah. Isn't it English tons are more than metric tons?
I'm going to write in probably. Google metric tons.
Isn't a ton 1,000 kilograms?
Versus ton.
2,000
kilograms? No.
No, a ton is 2,000.
It's 2,000 pounds.
Pounds, so. Yeah.
Yeah, it's 2,000 pounds. It's 1,000 kilograms.
Okay. 2,000 pounds is a ton while 1,000 kilograms is a metric ton.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
So it's about 3,000 pounds.
Yeah,
it's
bigger.
It's bigger, but it's not like, oh my God, it's so giant.
100, I say 100
Patrick said 70.
I said 70,000 metric tons.
100,000.
It is 700,000.
Jesus.
Whoa, dude.
Oh, pretty good.
So go, Jesse. You snarped
slightly closer.
You snarped my flarp.
A lot more than we could have imagined.
How many decks on the 1701D?
Ooh.
What's that, Jesse?
10.
Ooh. Buzz.
What?
Right. Is he wrong? Yeah, I mean, don't you have to officially state he's wrong?
Well, we're doing a closest answer.
Oh, this is the closest answer.
The closest answer.
I'll say 24.
It's 42.
Oh man, jeez.
10.
Why did I should? There's only 10. I should know that. You're just thinking of 10 forward.
Yeah, that was the. That's all they had. They had 10 decks.
10 forward. It's just got nice windows.
It's just 10.
You know, and it's interesting. Despite having
10 rearward, that's where like all the cool cats hung out. Smoking, playing that game from that episode, The Game.
40
and here's one of the questions that came up to my head as I was reading this about like wondering how this all fits together. It says, so the 1701D has 42 decks. So despite having nearly one third of the number of decks of the 1701D, Voyager was considered about half the size of 1701D, according to Memory Alpha. So in other words, to put it the other way, Voyager had something like 15 decks, and the 1701, the Enterprise, we'll just say the Enterprise, because that's always, we're always going to refer to the D. We always refer to the D. So Voyager had 15 decks. Enterprise had 42 decks. That's nearly three times the amount of decks.
Yeah.
But the
that's a lot of decks, baby.
But Enterprise is only considered twice the size.
In Star Trek V, the Enterprise A had like 78 decks, which doesn't make any sense at all. But they got to do that elevator shaft scene, you know, with the rocket boots.
You know, come to think of it, though, the Voyager was fat, had a weird fat middle. So maybe
bulbousy.
Yeah, so I'm just
attractively bulbous.
So you just think that if there was three times as many decks, it would be three times bigger as opposed to just twice as big. But Voyagers must have been
can't transpose decks. Yeah, classic engineering aphorism. You can't transpose decks.
Yeah,
between classes.
What are the questions you got? You think I can answer?
What deck was the bridge on in the Enterprise?
Oh. Was it on the deck one?
Are you gonna buzz?
Buzz. Deck one,
Star Trek by Anarchy. I thought
before it was like guess the closest number. I mean,
yeah, but that's not the case here.
Well, it could be.
What'd you say?
One.
He said one.
Yeah, you're right. It's one.
Woo! I thought it might be one.
It's not 42.
Woo!
Okay.
They go top to bottom.
Of course.
This is the
up and down.
This is the there's got to be some kind of reward for going first. Maybe if you answer the question, I'm going to change the rules halfway through because everyone loves that. If you answer first,
I think we're more than halfway through.
Oh, if you,
yeah, we are. We're almost done. So there's something to remember for the future if we ever decide to do anything
third
similar.
And final round.
I think that.
Oh, I can guarantee you we will.
Okay, so I think the first person that buzzes in, if they get it right, they get a full point. But if you get it right after the first person gets it wrong, you only get half a point.
But then shouldn't you also like get a negative point if you get it wrong if you're first? Shouldn't there be a disincentive to just buzzing in first? Because otherwise you'd always buzz in first, even if you could just guess, because then you could guarantee that the second place person would have to...
Well, it's
you would artificially depress their score.
Well, right, but that's part of the strategy. If you're ahead by enough points, you can play defense. That's how you play defense.
No, but the problem is it's like tic-tac-toe in the sense that it's a strategy that breaks the game.
Because
if the strategy is buzz in first, then everyone's just buzzing in no matter what, and the buzz has no relation to the content of the question.
That's the game.
All that happens is yes, some people might win more than their opponents, but the point is that's now the only strategy, because you either buzz and get the question right, or you force the other person to reduce their points by half. Whereas if you create a negative incentive to buzzing in before you have some You have to weigh in your mind. Do I know the answer? Can I guess? Will a random guess be better?
I see what you're saying, but part of the advantage of going second is
that you don't have to subtract stuff from the score.
No. What the fuck, man?
I'm just saying.
This game is getting really complicated.
You're all about math, but I know you. You're all about adding math. Look, you don't like that subtracting math.
You motherfucker.
You're just like, I just want to pile shit on top of
adding,
other shit.
I like adding and multiplying, subtracting and division out of the question.
By the way, I'm right there with you. I'm calling you out on this because I feel it in my own bones.
I like that multiplying.
Look. If you go
exponents.
If you go second and after the first person's got it wrong, you now have an advantage because you know what is wrong. So that helps you eliminate.
I think that's a good point.
This is hurting my head, man.
Well, game theory is very complicated.
I know, right?
It results in all. It's both fun, complicated, and it's complicated in the way that once you sort through the complications, you're like, oh, that makes sense. It's so simple. It's the wonderful and terrible thing about game theory is it's all this work, and then you're like, oh yeah, of course, that makes perfect sense. Why didn't I think of
that? Well, then you could just might as well say if you buzz in first and get it right, you get a point. If you buzz in first and get it wrong, you lose a point, and then there is no second person, next second choice.
I think there should be stakes to this game.
Okay, well we'll work that out. What about steaks. Pork chops? Should there be pork chops in this game?
Pork chops are good too.
Or tofu chops?
Tofu-y? Should there be tofu-y to this game?
I'd rather have a pork chop.
Tofu-y, pork chop, a big old basket of kale.
That's good too. I like a big old basket of kale.
You roll around in it. Because you got to massage kale. You know, ideally you massage kale to get the flavor nice.
I like to.
So if you can just like roll around in a basket of kale and then just nibble it while you're in the basket.
I like to wee wee on my kale first.
Where you pee on your kale?
Yeah.
Does that do the acids or the
because it
base,
means
that, the, does it neutralize?
Well, it gives me the health benefits of drinking my own pee. But it tastes better, and I get some greens with it.
Of course. But see, like I said, it's like classic game theory. Makes perfect sense when you think about it. Why didn't I think of that before?
Okay.
All right. Couple more questions.
Give us two more questions, then.
What deck were the cargo bays not on in the Enterprise? Were the cargo bays not on deck 4?
Is this the Enterprise D?
Yes. Okay. God damn it, you did that on purpose.
No, I didn't.
I told you already that I'm only referring to Enterprise D.
I didn't even do a D's Nets joke.
Okay, unless it's Kirk's Enterprise. Okay, whatever.
Okay, I got you.
On the TNG, I'm just going to say TNG Enterprise. And I'll
because there's also the E.
I know there is, but nobody talks about the E. No, I mean, they do. I'm sure they do.
The Sovereign Class E. Some people are quite fond of it.
Okay, fine, but I'm going
despite
to be...
It's more militaristic trappings.
Okay, I'm going to... For the TNG, I'm only referring to the Enterprise D right now. Maybe in the future I'll incorporate the E, but not yet.
So
okay.
It's not ready. It's either not on deck 4...
It's not on deck 8, or it's not on deck 13.
So it's 4, 8, 13...
Which ones are the cargo bays not on?
Are those the only three
4.
Choices?
Wrong.
Those are the three choices?
Yes, 4, 8, and 13.
I suck. I'm going to lose.
I'll say 13.
Lose.
Correct.
All right. That was a lucky guess.
I'll give you half a point, Patrick. just to be
technically, to I be mean, that's according to the brand new rules that we came up with.
You came up with that. Or I came up with that.
No, you came up with it.
I'm not subtracting a point from Jesse. We need to work on this more.
Oh, man.
Bonus content.
Okay, this is a follow-up
bonus
question.
Bonus flavors.
This is a follow-up question. What was on deck 13 of the 1701D?
Buzz.
What?
The Arboretum.
No.
Fuck. Buzz.
Transporter Bay 5.
No, the Shuttle Bays.
Oh, okay. Shit, dude. I was going to say hydroponics.
Okay.
I thought it had something to do with plants.
Okay, we'll have a couple more.
Riker growing.
I think we already had a couple more.
We had one. You've hated this game from the start. You've been joning on this game this whole time.
Oh, no.
You're like, let's get through this. I'm so done with this bullshit.
No. I just wanted to keep it flowing.
Oh, I got you. No, I feel you.
All right.
Sorry.
No, give us some questions.
No,
a couple more questions.
A couple more. It's cool.
Then we'll close it down.
Man.
Okay.
I'm not afraid.
This is not a real episode. This is a fake episode.
This is a fake code.
It's an exhibition.
It's a fake-sicle. Okay. What is, and there's some multiple choice... What is the significance of the number 47? Is it A writer attended a college that has a club that claims there exists a mathematical proof that all numbers are equal to 47? Is it B the number of directors involved with Star Trek, or C, one of the actors had to count down from 47 before and after performing each scene, delaying production significantly.
Bzz.
What?
A.
You already knew that, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah, that's like one of those that was one of those things that if you read about Star, if you type in Star Trek numbers, that's like one of the first things that comes up.
And the number 47 frequently comes up in Star Trek as a result. A lot of the script writers add in references to 47.
The Voyager, Next Generation Voyager writer Joe Manosky attended Pomona College in California. There's a club in Pomona.
He lives out California.
It's called the 47 Society. Claims that all mathematical there exists a proof that all numbers equal to 47, and that the number 47 occurs with greater frequency in nature than other numbers. 74 makes frequent reappearances as well, which is just absurd because that's just 47 turned around. This shares, but as does 23.
It's a retrograde.
This shares some things in common with Douglas Adams. 42, the number 42, which is the answer to the life, the universe, and everything. The main similarity being that both numbers reside within that fourth
declension.
No, it's not that. They're both start with 40.
Okay, I think this is an interesting way to just put things into scale. Just a couple on how this one. How many decks... How many decks does the Defiant class ship have?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Sound like a legit fart.
I know, right?
That was Jesse's thinking farts.
Got nice lips.
You do, they're quite supple.
Fart embouchure.
Thinking lips.
They just had one deck.
Wrong. What?
Five.
Four.
Fuck!
Four decks. They had four decks on that fool.
Yeah, oh, right. Man. So, how many? And this next one is from DITL.org, which is the Daystrom Institute Technical Library.org, which I didn't discover until I didn't start hitting on that until the end of these questions.
Daystrom Institute.
I bet there's some really good questions on there, hidden in there, because it's just stats and shit.
Mad scientists at the Daystrom Institute.
Man. I couldn't find this on Memory Alpha, but I found it on diddle.org.
Wait, no, don't go there. Why would you go there? What's wrong? Did you see that and you clicked on it?
You clicked on diddle, dude.
I think I'm on a list.
It's a good fucking thing you didn't click on,
you're on a list
diddle.net.
You fucked up.
Okay, what's the fact?
Diddle.peeny.
How many crew members was the Defiant built for? Was it A, 150, B, 50, or C, 100? What?
B.
You're right. 50.
Ha! I stole that answer from Jesse, but he didn't buzz in.
Oh, man.
I didn't know.
Now, there are some... this is some evidence of inconsistencies according to diddle.org.
Wait. Wait. Inconsistencies in Star Trek?
Just a reminder. Just to remind people that these, I'm sure every answer is somewhat arguable in some way, except for like the registration numbers. But every answer.
Oh, I'm sure those are arguable, and I'm sure some people say, well, technically, they're not the registration numbers.
So we're happy to discuss any sort of.
No, we're not. No, we're not.
It was like that librarian from Bob's Burgers. Played by Billy Eichner. Eichner. Yeah.
Bob's are stupid. Use the internet. Yeah.
So, and this is on diddle.org. The dude wrote a little splurt at the bottom.
Diddle.org.
He wrote a little splurt at the bottom that said,
"Hey, what's your son doing? Hey, Charlie, how you doing? Your son, he was doing real well. He was starting some website or something. What was that? What was that website he started?"
Diddle.org. So this person says,
my son's a big shot in Silicon Valley.
So this person says,
Diddle.org.
In reference to the Defiant, this person starts off with, he's got several paragraphs, but he starts off with just saying, to me, the Defiant has never made sense. She is quite simply far too small for the job she is supposed to do. Now, I just took one snippet of inconsistency, and let's see if anyone can follow this crap. It says, the official length of the ship is 170 meters, according to the
All right.
Let me just get through this, please.
I'm agreeing.
Okay.
I'm like, all right, I'm absorbing the information.
The official length of the ship is 170 meters, according to the DS9 technical manual. However, If we look at the ship's deck plans in the back of the book, mm-hmm. we see several illustrations mm-hmm. of people standing on the four decks.
Yes.
Taking these to be about 1.8 meters tall.
The people.
Yes. We get a length of about 115 meters for the ship.
Wait. But are they extrapolating from the height of the people and then thusly extrapolating the height of the decks and then multiplying the decks?
Yeah, well, but they say based upon the official length of the ship is 170 meters.
Yeah, but they would have to have the height in order for the height of the people to be relevant, the height of the ship. And my immediate argument there would be that the decks are not necessarily the same height as each other.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There could be decks that are slightly different heights. They don't all have to be standard. In fact, I could imagine some of the decks are shorter or taller.
Unless there's somewhere that lists how tall each deck is, I don't know how they came to that conclusion.
The people... They are using 1.8, which is, on the one hand, it is a reasonable
estimate.
That's
an average, right.
It is a reasonable estimate, but is not necessarily the correct estimate. Are they averaging humans from the 24th century? What about the average height of all the aliens that are involved? Tellarites tend to be a little smaller.
It seems like the illustrations to that person stood out to indicate that they were human.
How much water is displaced by the...
I think that person is being human-centric.
I would not argue at that point. I would not argue at that point.
Probably even Eurocentric.
If I
had to guess.
They go on to say, if it's 170 meters long, then those people are actually 266 centimeters tall, or about 8 feet 9 inches.
Right. Whoa.
I mean, to be fair, that is tall. If we can trust this person's... calculations.
Yeah, if we can trust this person's calculations, if the
so
ship
those
is
drawings were not to scale.
The official length is 170 meters, and these people must be 8 feet 9 inches tall, which is human or whatever. Regardless of your species, they probably don't average that.
That's pretty tall.
The drawings weren't to scale; they were just to give you an idea.
That's kind of my take on it too. Is like I don't think that's something.
And
you need
I
to
bet
read
the
too
drawings.
That's why they were at the back of the tank.
It is a tech. Yeah, that's right. That's it didn't make it.
It's for the lay reader.
Yeah,
it's
good point.
I also bet
the
all
engineering
the
engineering cadet.
I can imagine the people were all standing in that kind of that silhouetted, coy, slightly sexy stance.
Yeah,
that Starfleet Starfleet silhouette used in illustrations where they got their one hand like on the crook their arm crooked in their hip. And they're all like standing there, being
sassy
all
sassy
like,
tricorder, maybe.
And their one leg is slightly angled, and their foot pointing outward.
Okay, I have four questions, but they're going to be speed round. I'll get them done within a minute.
All right.
Okay, how many species were represented among the members of the 1701D's complement? A, 7 through 12, B, 13 through 18, C, 25 through 31.
It's like I feel like I'm doing my fucking taxes.
B.
You're right, Jesse's right. 15.
All right, next question.
All right, lightning round taxes.
Yeah, I know, form 1713-8.
Like 53, B, put the answer from box 35-2. Oh,
how many total number of episodes were there in the animated series?
Oh, shit, I know this.
What?
Fuck, I'm going to add 24.
22.
Fuck.
How many in season one? Jesse. Patrick.
16.
Correct. Which means there were 6 in season 2.
Yeah.
I got it wrong. I
choked.
But you got the 16 right, so that's like, what?
Choked.
Like half a point.
All right, next one.
I need a better way of keeping score, too, because I have to scroll to the top every
time.
You
should design an app specifically for this scorekeeping system.
I bet it would like be super popular.
Yeah, no doubt.
Okay, so what's the difference between these two numbers? They both hold significance in Star Trek. There's 90,000 light years and 70,000 light years.
Buzz.
What?
70,000 is how far across the galaxy. No, wait. 70,000 is how far Voyager got flung into the Delta Quadrant from the core of the Federation.
Correct.
And 90,000 is the total distance across the galaxy or something?
No.
90,000 is where the Traveler sent the Enterprise.
No.
Q sent them there.
Any guesses, Jesse, on what's 90,000 light years?
The Alpha Quadrant.
No, it's the distance between the two points connected by the Bajoran wormhole in DS9.
Okay, I was about to get mad at you for that, and no, you're
right.
Because
you thought I was going to be a dick or something.
No, I heard the answer, and I was momentarily angry, and I was like, no, that's 100% valid.
Final question, Dan.
You just didn't want to admit that you were wrong.
Alpha to Gamma Quadrant.
Yeah.
What do I get? Do I get a half a point for that?
No, because you didn't get it right.
Well, I got the 70.
Oh, yeah, you did. I'm sorry.
You don't have to give me a half a point.
No, yeah, you did get that one right. Those were all the questions.
Oh, okay.
All right.
It was a good game.
That was a good game. That was excellent.
We'll work out the kinks and we'll play it with others.
I need a bigger climax to the ending because it's like, you're like, okay, next question. I'm like, oh, that was it.
That's
not usually how game shows end.
Have you ever seen the dating game from the 70s?
You're right, Jesse. I did say four and I conflated two of them together.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, you were totally right on that. So that was...
You, sir, are a conflator.
I am a conflatus.
Well, this has been
conflatus
quite a bonus.
What is the dating game? Were we talking about the dating game?
Yeah, you know the dating game.
Yeah, I know, but what does that have to do with non-climax? Because they don't have sex anymore after the dating game's over because they fought too much?
No, I don't even remember the context of the reference.
Was Love Connection. Which is the one where they broke up newly? There was the Newlyweds game.
Broke up. Oh, the Newlyweds game was good.
That was the one where they like got them to not know things about each other and then they would fight
and get
mad.
You'd ask questions ahead of time.
Nah.
And stuff.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that was Star Trek by numbers or by the numbers.
Okay.
Depending on which universe you're in, it can be by numbers or by the numbers. Yeah. But you have to designate which timeline/universe
you're
in.
You have to.
Yeah.
Okay. So that was more bonus content. You'll have more forthcoming.
That was more than we intended.
Yeah. It's like extra bonus. In the meantime, if you have access to Star Trek Discovery Season 4 or are shortly about to get access to Star Trek Discovery Season 4, you should follow along with our main episodes where we are doing weekly coverage of said Season 4 of Star Trek Discovery.
You want to listen to this?
We've already done Episode 1, and soon we'll be doing Episode 2.
Yeah, man.
And I'll leave it to you,
it's happening,
math geniuses, to guess which episode we'll be doing following Episode 2. Henceforth.
It's a pattern.
You can get us at It's Got Star Trek on Twitter, Instagram. You can find us on Facebook and YouTube and Apple Podcasts. And Twitter, Stitcher.
Trader Joe's.
And Trader Joe's. We're working on that, Dan. We haven't signed the contract yet,
okay,
but we're working on
it. Our lawyers are looking through it.
We're trying to.
We don't want to get screwed out of our money.
There's a few little things we got to do before our products are on Trader Joe's shelves. We can't even tell you what the product is going to be. We'll tell you that at some point in the future. Maybe
it'll
the next
samosas.
Bonus episode.
It'll be samosas.
All right. Hope you had a good one, and we'll talk to you at some point in the future.
Well, did it work? Where's the cake?
It worked, sir. We have the combination.
Great. Now we can take every last breath of fresh air from planet Druidia. What's the combination?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5?
Yes.
That's amazing. I've got the same combination on my luggage.